have just one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7, praise God. One, no doubt, very familiar to you because of the promise that it makes, the revelation that it contains. Praise God. But we have this treasure. Everybody say this treasure. In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise God. We try to operate in our own strength and our own ability. We are drastically shortchanging ourselves. Amen. But we let the excellency of the power be of God, and oh my, there's a tremendous difference that comes as well. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. This treasure. Amen. There's a lot of things that people treasure. In the political realm, in our state, the PFD is becoming quite a hot item in terms of who's going to utilize it, who's going to preserve it, who's going to make sure each resident gets the full amount, and you know, all of that. You're seeing that so much now in the news, and no doubt in the upcoming weeks, it's going to become even more of a political football because it's a treasure. We treasure that. But I think about the isms that we have been concerned about, and I guess Pentecostalism is something that some would be concerned about. Praise God, I'm glad it's real. I'm glad it's powerful. I'm glad we worship God like the scripture that Brother Aaron read, in spirit and in truth. Praise God. But communism is probably not as great a threat as it was 50 years ago. Not at all. Socialism, again, in the political realm, something we're hearing more and more of. And seeing it slip into the fabric of our society, whether we want it or not. There's many who are promoting that aspect. But here's something that I think affects everybody, something that has potential to change direction for people's lives, has an impact on their spirituality, and can really make a difference in a number of ways. And that ism is materialism. Materialism, things. Wealth, money, that sort of thing. Now, when we consider the things of God, the treasure, then material things really take second place. And we recognize they're disposable, and they certainly are. They're going to change. You know, nothing lasts. Jesus talked about rust and moths and thieves changing your treasure. And he challenged us, lay up treasures in heaven, because treasures on earth are going to change. It's not going to stay the same. It's going to be different. Amen. I remember reading about a rich man, a very wealthy man, who passed away. And that's going to happen to everyone. That's the only way to leave this earth, unless the Lord comes. And when the wealthy man passed away, and the question was asked, how much did he leave? You know, asking about the wealth that he possessed. And how much did he leave behind? And some wiseacre answered, all of it. He didn't take any of it. I've heard about a guy being buried in a Cadillac. You know, what a waste. Can't drive it anywhere. But the important thing is to understand we do have a treasure. And the question has got to be, how much do we treasure that treasure? Amen. Solomon is known for being very wise. He's known for being very rich. And it is his words from Ecclesiastes 5:15 that describe how nothing of a man's labor is what he is going to carry away. Nothing. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And Solomon may have been echoing the opinion of Job when he said, naked came I into this world, naked shall I return. Nothing. Nothing's going to go. I didn't bring anything. I'm not going to take anything. Paul affirmed that in 1 Timothy 6 and 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. You know, some people lose that certainty. Sure. They think it's going to be something that can be preserved on into perpetuity. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And so, materialism, not something that's going to last, not something that's going to continue. Now, having a treasure is not the problem. That's not the problem. Where your treasure is has got to be determined. And that's why Jesus warned about treasure here on this earth, because rust can damage it, moths can eat it, thieves can break in and steal, and things can change very drastically. There are storms approaching the East Coast and the Philippines, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in those places and the churches there, because the storm surge on the East Coast and South Carolina and the southeast area there is predicted to be some of the worst that they have experienced in a long while. And we've heard of damage to the Philippines by typhoons in the past. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters there as well, because it can be devastating, left with nothing. But having those treasures, again, is not the problem. Real treasures, however, is what we've got to determine. Now, treasure in heaven, that's what the Lord pointed us to. But thank God for the treasure we have in our loved ones. Thank God for our family members that we treasure. Our friends, praise God. And when they go on, when they pass on, there's a treasure in heaven. Sister Wade is a treasure of ours now in heaven. Praise God. She hasn't even been there 24 hours, and already she's forgotten all the pain, forgotten every tear, forgotten every difficulty. Praise God. And is so glad that the Lord changed her. Praise God. And the precious blood of Jesus washing away every stain of sin and every problem and difficulty that she faced. Praise God. The treasures in heaven. Thank God that we can know that blessing and that reality. Now, the Lord also qualified it by saying, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think about Moses and how he grew up in the palace, very privileged, very prosperous, and he could identify himself as a Hebrew because of the teaching that his mother, Jochebed, left with him for however long he was there, 5-6 years, something like that. And he never forgot how to speak Hebrew, even though he took languages, no doubt, in the schools of diplomacy that he was a part of, and all the engineering, all the mathematics, all the science, all of the chemistry, you know, the stuff that the Egyptian civilization was known for. Moses was schooled in all of that because he was being prepared to take a role in Pharaoh's government and in the ruling class of Egypt's society. But he looked at the treasures, and he saw all the treasures. And my goodness, what a culture that was wealthy, and the privileged class that he was raised in, all of those treasures. But yet he saw greater riches. Greater riches? How in the world could he determine greater riches? Because to identify as a Hebrew meant to step down in society, meant to be a part of a group that was persecuted, that was a working force, if not outright slaves. And how could he determine that was greater riches? Well, faith. Praise God. He saw him who was invisible. Oh, that sounds like a paradox. That sounds like a contradiction. How can you see him who is invisible? Because of faith. Amen. And because of the desire of his heart. Remember, he's the one who said, Lord, show me your glory. Praise God. And in the New Testament, Mark 9 and 4, we see him standing in the promised land with Jesus, and he's seeing the glory of the mighty God in Christ Jesus. It's all in him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in him. Praise God. And Moses witnessed that. The one who wrote about God being the Lord, God being one. What we call the Shema of Israel. And how that he would recognize there's one. And he would proclaim it very strongly. He stood in the glory of that one upon that mountain. Praise God. So, the treasure. The treasure. Amen. I'm thankful we have treasures. One man defined success as being with his family. As long as I can be with my family, I'm a success. He wasn't counting it in dollar signs. He wasn't counting it in real estate. He wasn't counting it any other way. A portfolio or stocks and bonds or any of those kinds of things. But he recognized his family. Thank God for our spouse. Thank God for the word of the Lord and the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God. Being able to walk with the Lord, be able to work with him, and know all of these privileges. Amen. Treasure. We treasure those things. They're important to us. Jesus talked about a man who saw a treasure in a field. And it's interesting that he hid that treasure and then joyfully, I saw that word today, joyfully he went and sold all that he had so that he had the cash to make the transaction and purchase that field that contained the treasure. He knew what he was buying. He knew what he desired. And joyfully he let go of everything else so that he could grab hold of that one treasure that he had been seeking for, that he had been desiring. And the Lord likens that to the kingdom of heaven. And thank God we can determine, I want to be in that kingdom because I want to see the King of heaven, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And be able to endure everything else that comes with that field. See, we kind of ignore what was there, and we focus on the treasure, rightly so. That's why he bought the field in the first place. But there are a lot of things that came with that field, a lot of difficulties, a lot of hardship, a lot of situations that he had to deal with that were not comfortable, not convenient, But he recognized this field has the treasure, and I want it. Amen. And he focused on it, and he made that purchase. Praise God. And he didn't mind all that was required in being able to make that purchase, but joyfully he did so. Now, the scripture talks about treasure. Jeremiah 10:13, in this passage, it makes mention of vapors. There are some weather conditions that are mentioned. Vapors and lightning and rain. And then it says, the Lord brought forth the wind out of his treasures. Interesting that the terminology is like that. He brought forth the wind out of his treasures. That scripture is repeated in Jeremiah 51 and 16. And the Lord has treasures. The rainbow that we see in the sky after a rainstorm. How beautiful. How amazing that spectrum appears in the same way every time. And the colors of the rainbow, they're not all mixed up. They're not all changed. They're there. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet, sometimes indigo. And, okay, the Lord put that there. The Lord, with his treasures, is able to bring forth all of these aspects and the wind. You know, it's significant that when Nicodemus heard the Lord telling about being born again, how that the Lord referenced the wind. You can't tell where it comes from. You can't tell where it's going. But you hear the sound. What was the Lord emphasizing there? He's not giving a forecast. He's not talking about weather terms. He's emphasizing there's going to be a sound. Everyone born of the Spirit is going to make a sound. Amen. And thank God we speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Amen. How amazing that even those who are mute, those who are not able to speak normally, they're not able to make intelligent words and conversation. When they receive the Holy Ghost, guess what? They speak in tongues. Praise God. The miraculous power of God. The work that he's able to do. Amen. Thank God. Everyone born of the Spirit is God's plan, and everyone will make the sound. Now, Nicodemus, of course, asked how. It was not something to analyze. It was not something to, pick apart and put it back together and so on. He was there to hear the Lord, and hopefully he was one of the ones in the upper room. If not in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, hopefully he was among the 3,000 that gathered when it was noised abroad. Ah, there's that sound again. Praise God. And hopefully he was baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost as the Lord had told him, you must be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Thank God there came that sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord fulfilled his promise. The Lord brought it about. Thank God for this treasure. We have this treasure. Hallelujah. It's the treasure that the Lord has given. It's the treasure that he wants to provide in every earthen vessel. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, Paul is the one who wrote that. And he didn't believe it all the time. he struggled with it. He was having a tough time. He wanted to wipe them out, these tongue talkers, these Jesus name people. He wanted to get rid of them. Even his own teacher, Gamaliel, gave the word, if it's of God, you can't overthrow it. If it's of man, it's going to come to nothing. But if it's of God, don't try to fight it. Don't try to go against it. He didn't listen. He tried to overthrow it. But thank God, the Lord let light shine into the darkness of his heart. Amen. And the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ became what he knew and knowledgeable of. Amen. I like verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. How that light would shine in the darkness. And the Lord would give the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the glory of God in his face. Amen. One preacher said, God put a face on grace, and it's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we are able to receive it. Praise God. Now, that changed Saul of Tarsus. That turned his world upside down. He thought he was doing the right thing. He had the right goals. He had the right ambition. And he was looking forward to promoting himself and his agenda. But the Lord made a change. Praise God. And then he wasn't ashamed of it. Amen. He told his testimony to everybody who would listen. The Jews in Jerusalem, the soldiers, the centurions, it didn't matter. The governor, the king, he's going to tell everybody, I saw a light. I heard a voice. Praise God. And thank the Lord. He identified who he was speaking to when the Lord replied, I am Jesus. Now that I am would have great significance to Saul of Tarsus, a very studious man of the law, and certainly knowing what Moses would say about Shema Israel. And how that the Lord is one and the Lord is God. So when Jesus replied from heaven, I am Jesus, it was very powerful. And one phrase that grabbed his attention and turned him around, praise God. Ananias came and prayed for him. He received his sight and he was told, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins in the name of the Lord. And he knew that name, praise God. So, he would write, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In Colossians 2 and 3, he would talk about Jesus and how in Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge in a general sense. Wisdom and knowledge of the world is good. They're medical things, technological things, how to, and so on. We need those things some of the time. But the wisdom and knowledge that the Lord gives, now that's what we can focus on. That's what we can treasure. Praise God. And oh, how there's a need to heed. A need to heed everything that will lead you to your eternal home. And not waver. And not change. Because God sees you as a treasure. The Lord looks at you as a treasure. No wonder he said your treasure's in heaven. That's where he wants his treasure to be. That's where he wants you to be. Praise God. Exodus 19 and 5. Now therefore, here's the Lord speaking. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Above all people, for all the earth is mine. Praise God. Amen. And that peculiar word there means special. It means good. It means proper. And all of these aspects of peculiar applies to the treasure that the Lord brought out of Egypt. Now, getting Egypt out of the people was a whole other process. It took 40 years for that to happen. But, oh, I'm thankful the Lord is able to take things out of our lives and put a treasure in. The trash that needs to be dumped, thrown away, and the treasure that we are able to grab a hold of and not let go. Praise God. Now, that power that is so wonderful there, the excellent power. Remember the disciples being thrilled that the devils were subject to the name of Jesus. And the power that the Lord promised in Luke 10 and 19. And that's the power that we have as well. And thank God that laying up treasure in heaven is what they continued to do. And the Lord declaring, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He wants his treasure in heaven with him. Lay up treasures in heaven. Praise God. And, I read this, and you've read it many, many times, but this time I read it, this verse that we started with, the treasure in earthen vessels, and I thought about the excellent power, and what that means. Now, Paul didn't live in a vacuum. He didn't ignore the fact that there were realities that he would struggle against. In fact, right after he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he writes a list of problems. He writes a list of difficulties. We're troubled, he said, on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Depression doesn't pull us down. Depression doesn't turn us topsy-turvy. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. See, what he was doing was helping us to understand, life is going to continue. There's going to be problems. There's going to be situations that you come up against. The devil is going to come against you. And there will be trouble. There will be perplexity. There will be persecution. But fear not. You're not going to be distressed. You're not going to be in despair. You're not going to be forsaken. There's going to be power. Amen. Even when you're cast down, you're not going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power that is in that blessing of the treasure. Excellent power. Excellent power. Praise God. Now you read on in the chapter, and Paul says, these light afflictions. What? Light afflictions. I don't like to be troubled. I don't like to be perplexed. I don't like to be persecuted. I don't like to be cast down. But Paul says they're light afflictions because they work a far more excellent glory, exceeding excellent glory. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord that there's eternal and outcomes that we're looking for. Eternal. Not the temporal, not temporary, eternal. We keep our eyes upon it. That's the direction we want to go. And twice in the chapter, verse 1, verse 16, twice he declares, we faint not. Why? Because we have excellent power. Not of us. It's of him. See, that's why that relationship is so important. That's why that ongoing connection with God is so necessary. That's why in John 15, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me. The branches are broken off, they're just going to get burned. But if they abide in the vine, they're going to be productive. There's going to be fruit. And I want you to bear much fruit. And I want your fruit to remain. Amen. And see, those changes that he makes in us are to continue because it's life. It's life in him. Praise God. And thank the Lord, we don't faint because there's power. Excellent power. Amen. Paul also wrote in Galatians 6 and 9, we shall reap in due season if we faint not. He knew about fainting. He knew about having difficulty and the hardship that you come up against. Remember, he prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove a thorn in his flesh. Whatever it was, his eyesight, speech impediment, there are different opinions about what he was dealing with. And it could have been just the devil giving him a bad time. The devil just persecuting him and trying to pull him down. But thank God, excellent power means you can overcome. Amen. You can endure. You can overcome. Amen. And that power is excellent so that we overcome what tries to overcome us. What used to drag us down, what used to cause us problems, we overcome. Praise God. And we step into the power that he has in us. Now, there's a reason that the apostle identifies earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. Why didn't he say new creatures in Christ? He does say that in chapter 5. Why doesn't he say born-again believers? No, he says earthen vessels. Because he knows the problems that can come if our treasure is not on that excellent power. When we get off focus. We get off base. And something else becomes what we treasure. Going to be a difficulty. Because remember, Jesus declared, the spirit is willing, but the flesh. Oh, that old flesh. Can't cast it out. Can't cast out the flesh. You know, we can deal with demons through the power of the name of Jesus and be protected by the precious blood of Jesus. But our flesh, it's got to be disciplined. It's got to be told no. And those earthen vessels is what the excellent treasure is, the excellent power, the treasure that's there. Amen. Fragile clay pots, earthen vessels. Amen. That's why what's in the vessel is more important than the vessel itself. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy and 2 Timothy 2:21, and he mentioned vessels of gold and vessels of silver, vessels of wood and vessels of clay. But the goal is, be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Praise God. And that power is there. Now see, the newness, the earthen vessel has got to go through some aspects that are made new. That's why it's born again. Amen. And that's why there's new life. Clear back in Mark 2:21-22, the Lord emphasized this aspect of being new. He said, an old garment. You don't sew new clothing onto that old garment because it's going to get ripped. And the tear is going to be worse than what you tried to repair in the first place. He said, you don't put new wine into old bottles or old wineskins because the old wineskins are going to burst and you lose everything. What was the principle that he was trying to get across? New. Thank God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New. Hallelujah. Because of the excellent power that he puts within us, that is that wonderful treasure. Amen. Now, let me end with this aspect of what I noticed as I read it again. Paul uses the word manifest. Manifest in chapter 4. He uses it in the aspect of manifest truth in verse 2. Manifest truth. And then in verses 10 and 11, we're still in chapter 4. In 10 and 11, he mentions life two times. Two times life is mentioned as to manifest. Manifest. Praise God. And so, all right? That manifestation is to be there to show it works. It works. Praise God. The power of the Lord brings a change to a person's life. If Sister Wade was here, thank God she's not. She's where she belongs. If she was here, you would be shocked to hear her tell of what her life was before the Lord changed her. She was faithful for many, many years. Sister Denny could tell you about her faithfulness in Oregon and how she worked so hard for the ladies' department and so faithful in so many aspects of the church that they were a part of there before they moved here to the peninsula. But she could tell you about being a bartender. She could tell you about doing a whole bunch of crazy things. But the Lord made a powerful change. The Lord made that change. It was manifest. Praise God. It wasn't a secret. She wasn't a secret Christian. And people had to wonder, you know, do you have faith in the Lord? And thank God, it can be manifest. Praise God. And we manifest that in our lifestyle. Thank God. There's power to make that manifestation. You shall receive power, Jesus said. Amen. And Paul, we know, would testify even to governors and to kings and didn't hold him back. We didn't intimidate him. I saw a light from heaven. Praise God. He gave his testimony all over again. Amen. And the power of the Lord was manifest. See, that's what the Lord wants us to do. It's not, praise God, we can come together and worship. We can feel the thrill of the move of the Spirit of God in our lives. We can clap. We can dance. We can stomp. We can march. We can do all kinds of things to manifest how powerful God is moving in our midst. Amen. And then we walk out the doors. We get in our cars. We go to our home. We go to our workplace, whatever it might be. And God wants you to manifest his truth. Manifest his life. Praise God, because there's power there. There's power. Excellent power. Not of us. Praise God. It's of him. Amen. Stand with me now, please. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the gospel wasn't hid. When I was a 15-year-old boy, recognizing that I needed to make a change, I'm glad I saw it manifest in my aunt and uncle as they were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. I'm glad I saw it manifest in my pastor, my first pastor, Brother and Sister Smith. Praise God. And I saw how they prayed. I heard how they prayed. Very sincere, very simple, very direct, very straightforward. Amen. And I'm here tonight as a testimony of how powerful their prayers are. Amen. Thank God. It was manifest to me. Manifest in the Word of God, that truth that's there. Praise God. Manifest the truth. Manifest the life. Because they have power to change. Change us and to change others that we manifest. Now, we're not showing off. That's not what we're doing. Manifest is just, it's there. It's there. There's, you know, no attempt to hide it. No attempt to tone it down. No attempt to make it seem as though it's not. Not making a difference, no. Praise God. It's the power of the Lord. See, because, again, Paul would mention it. If our gospel be hid. This is also in chapter 4. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lost. What a hopeless situation. What a difficult spiritual condition, as well as physical, emotional, mental, all of those aspects, lost. And oh, thank God, a light can be manifest. Amen. A life can be manifest. Truth manifest. Because you're living it. Praise God. Let's come forward here for just a few minutes here. We're going to go downstairs and have fellowship we're going to enjoy a little bit of time together. But right now, I believe the Lord just wants us to grab a hold of this aspect of it, His Spirit being a treasure in our earthen vessels. And there's excellent power that He wants to reveal. Excellent power. Praise God. And make it manifest. Not hidden. Not in secret. Not neglected. Not overlooked. Manifest. In Jesus' name. Let's raise our hands now and surrender to Him. Praise God.